Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in, Friday show. Glad to have you with us. As always, plenty to get to in this hour, and glad you're along for the ride. Let's take a look at the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have some Zaxby's headlines to talk about. It appears IU basketball had a scrimmage yesterday, their own inter-squad scrimmage, obviously with no fans. But we'll tell you about that, or at least what little we know about that, coming up in just a few moments. Some notes that are just crazy in college basketball. We're going to talk about recruiting dead period in men's hoops has been extended. And then an interesting, and I had forgotten about this, but another interesting connection to our state from the NBA draft a couple nights ago. And it actually isn't just to our state, it's to Jeffersonville. And we'll tell you about that coming up in our headlines in segment one. Also in segment one, we had our Clark and Floyd County High School boys basketball media day program last night. It was a 3-hour marathon program. By all indications, just based on the streaming numbers, it was a huge success, and we appreciate everyone that tuned in. That just really has become, as I call it, a preseason tradition for the high school basketball season here in Clark and Floyd counties, and so fun to hear from the coaches. We've given you some teases. This year I didn't do it live at a restaurant because of COVID, so we recorded it day by day and put it all together for you last night, and again, had a lot of fun doing so. But we gave you Coach Hoffman of Silver Creek on this show a few days ago. We gave you Coach Grants of Jeffersonville yesterday. And today, coming up here in just a few seconds, we're going to give you Todd Sturgeon of Floyd Central, as we'll tell you all about his team. This is a replay of his interview from last night from our high school boys basketball media day program. Don't forget, if you missed the show last night, in addition to playing back some of the key coaches already and a couple next week on this show, the podcast is available. It is available on SoundCloud. Excuse me. SoundCloud and Apple Podcast. You can find it there. And obviously, it is an opportunity for you to learn everything that's going on in the area for this upcoming season as well. Let's take a look at our headlines today. And I need to tell you the rest of the show, don't I? Coming up in segment two today, we'll be joined by Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana. Segment three, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star will join. Obviously, plenty to talk about with those guys when we chat with them here in just a bit. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, you can take them to go, and curbside service, it's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Dress rehearsal is what Indiana men's basketball tweeted out yesterday. It appears they had a full-out scrimmage. There was a white team, a red team. They were wearing the official game uniforms, no practice gear. The scoreboard was on. The lights, the signage all seemed to be on. And in the couple photos that they released, it looked like the team was really going at it. And, of course, maybe a couple staffers in the stands, but very, very much a closed environment yesterday for this scrimmage game with Indiana, an inter-squad scrimmage. So I saw one of the scoreboard photos where you can see Robert Fennessy driving to the basket with 18 minutes and something left in the second half of play. It was the cream team leading 36-32, and other than pictures, it's hard to know exactly who made up each team. It's very limited on what was put out from this. But again, nice to know that they are going through a game-like day And that's what you've got to do. Normally there would be an inter-squad game. There would be exhibition games. There would be preseason games that really aren't the big deals against the mid-major schools. Very little of that is going to happen. You're going to get two of those, I can't even call them exhibition games because they're regular season games, but against mid-major type opponents. And so Indiana obviously going through the dress rehearsal, you could say, yesterday with a inter-squad scrimmage that looked like pretty much the real deal just without fans yesterday. Also, I thought this note kind of just underscores these couple notes, underscores how crazy basketball is and it's going to be. There was supposed to be an MTE, you know, those are multiple team events based in Indianapolis next week. I'm not sure who all was going to be in it, but Cincinnati, Loyola, Chicago, Duquesne, and some other schools, I believe, set to make up the field. Yesterday, it came out Loyola Chicago had withdrawn. They could not participate because of some COVID-19. I think it's just a three-team event, Cincinnati, Loyola, Chicago, and Duquesne. But they would not participate. And so now the whole thing today has fallen apart, which I think, again, just a three-team event. One team had to pull out. Who knows what's going on with the other two? But that's the type of stuff that as college hoops get started, guess what? 5 days from now, we are going to see happen. There are going to be, I think, games canceled, hopefully not an event canceled, like a tournament-type event. You don't want to see that happen for sure, but there are going to be some crazy situations. I think we know that. I also saw John Harrell tweet this out. Of course, we all use Mr. Harrell's website for scores and schedules and everything when it comes to Indiana high school basketball, but it's the third week of the high school girls' basketball season right now. Actually closing on the end of the third week today and tomorrow will, and 51 teams in the state, 51 schools and their high school girls basketball teams have yet to play a game. Now, I'm assuming most of that has to do with some sort of COVID-related situation. They're in quarantine. They've had some positive cases. Maybe their county and the health department has shut down their team temporarily or maybe even permanently for a while. I'm sure that's a combination of the 51 teams that have not yet played. So I think that, again, is a number that, you know, should be kind of overwhelming to you that says, wow, it's not just here, it's not just there. It's going to be sprinkles everywhere of issues this season when it comes to basketball, whether it's college or, of course, high school girls, boys, it doesn't matter. One other headline, the recruiting period has been, the dead period, I should say, has been extended through April 15th for Division I men's basketball. I think it's now unanimous with football, men's and women's basketball, that period has been pushed out to the April 15th date. And I think it's important to note because right around that time, in late April, is normally when there's one or two live weekends for coaches to get out and go to travel tournaments and shoe circuits and things of that nature. So they're leaving the door open, at least now, which is smart. Still a long ways off is April from the end of November here to see what happens before they take it further or maybe open things back up. We'll see, but we'll see where we're at when we get past March and get past the high school season and obviously see where we're at with the vaccine as well. I'm sure that could play a big role in allowing some of these big events to happen where college recruiters want to be there. Final note, I think this is really interesting. The NBA draft, we know about Desmond Bane from up in the Richmond area that went to Seton Catholic, obviously getting drafted, keeping the streak alive, or not really a streak, but great success alive from Indiana high school players getting drafted, finding their way to an NBA team somehow. Another local connection, and this is one that I had heard over the years, I kind of forgot about it. You know, you remember it at times, but never anything that really was a reason to bring up on this show or that came up strongly. But Cassius Stanley, who played at Duke, he's from California. His mother is Tanya Sedgwick, and she was a track star and a track and field athlete for Jeffersonville, went on to in college at UCLA as well and had a tremendous career there. That is her son. And so a Jeffersonville native, her son, Cassius Stanley, drafted at the NBA draft earlier this week. He was the number 54 pick overall, and he, oddly enough, was selected by the Indiana Pacers. And Josh Cook of the News and Tribune, he's got a great story on Stanley and his family and his background. But it wasn't just his mother, Tanya, that was a tremendous athlete, Jeff. It was all three of the Sedgwick sisters, and he talks some about that in his story that you can find in the News and Tribune today. But another connection to Indiana – as far as the professional ranks go. And, of course, Stanley had a pretty good year at Duke last season and played high school basketball out in L.A. at Sierra Canyon High School, which is the school that LeBron James's son Bronny attends. And so he comes from a pretty good basketball pedigree as well. His father, who Mrs. Tanya Sedgwick married, is a sports agent, so obviously well-connected in this business as well. But Cassius Stanley, when you see him suit up for the Pacers next season and you start to read and get to know the newest Pacer in that team, in that NBA franchise, you know he's got a distant connection with his mother to Southern Indiana right here to Jeffersonville as well. Let's get into our interview with Coach Sturgeon. I promised you this in our first segment today. This is from last night from our Clark and Floyd County High School Boys Basketball Media Day. Don't forget, you can hear from all 12 coaches. If you missed our program last night, the podcast is available on Apple Podcast and SoundCloud as well. And still ahead, Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana and Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. But to close out segment one, Coach Sturgeon on what he thinks the Highlanders could be this season. Coach, I want to start with last season. I know it may be tough to think about. Obviously, a great team a year ago, a 18-win season, a sectional championship, the Highlanders playing good basketball. Just about the time the sectional rolls around, we've got this thing called COVID-19 beginning to enter our country in a very rapid way. And, of course, we could not go on with the state tournament. That, I know, was tough for your players, especially for your graduating seniors, for you and your coaching staff, for the fans, and for really for Floyd Central in general, that has really been on a resurgence now for a number of years and got over that big sectional championship hump. So hoping your guys able to use that as some motivation as we get this season underway to see if they can get back there.
Well, yeah, you know, it's crazy looking back on that, Matt, that you know, just how naive we all were at the time when we, you know, we got shut down. We're like, hey, maybe in a couple of weeks we might be able to finish out the games. And so, you know, we just had no idea, you know, the scale that this thing was going to grow to. You know, you're always hoping that guys that use that as motivation. I continue to feel, you know, in retrospect, given that the fall sports didn't even have their season, I'm slow to complain that we got to play our entire season and at least have some postseason and get to experience a championship. So it's hard to complain when you compare it to what the other sports have had to deal with. But hopefully it's something that, you know, maybe even as much as anything, whet our appetite for what is possible, you know, in our younger players and offer some motivation to them to continue to work on their game and to try to see if we can do it again.
And I do want to also spend a moment on last year. You had just a tremendous group of seniors that were a big part of that success, both on the court and leadership as well. And you've got talent back, but you're going to have to replace some of those guys you lost last year. And I think out of respect, I'd like to just mention some of those guys or talk about in general what the senior group meant to your program and getting over that big hump and winning a sectional championship.
Well, it was really rewarding as a coach because you're always telling guys, you know, and encouraging them to sacrifice for their personal goals for the betterment of the team. As any coach or leader, you're always trying to convince people of that. And our three seniors last year had all been almost exclusively JV players up until their senior year. And for those three guys to, you know, experience the success they did, you know, Grant Gilman became, you know, just such a unique weapon of a big, strong post player who's a handful around the basket, but then can shoot it from, you know, the volleyball line. And that guy that you have to guard all over the court. And Ben Purvis and Seth Burks, just two guys that, you know, just really understood their role in the team. Ben became a guy that had a 3-to-1 assist to turnover ratio and didn't shoot a bunch, but made a high percentage when he did shoot. And Seth was a guy who became one of our best individual defenders, and then they just became kind of the emotional center of our team for guys that had waited their turn behind two huge groups of seniors. We'd had, I think, 8 and 9 seniors in the two previous groups. And so it was just a backlog, and they never got a chance to play on the varsity level. And so for all those reasons, it was doubly special to manage to win there in the sectional last year.
And Coach Sturgeon, this year's team, lots of excitement about who's back despite all the losses from last season, because Jake Heidbreder, he's going to play Division I basketball. He's been a big name in the area now for multiple seasons. He's back for his final year, as are some other players. But I want to start with Jake. He's really come along. He's really developed himself into a complete player, had a number of schools at the Division I level coming after him, and he's found a good home, and now he can focus on his senior year for you.
Yeah, and it really was – boy, just the decision he made there, such a mature decision, speaks a lot about him and his family. Jake wants to be a pilot, and so when the Air Force – he's such a good student and I don't know exactly what – but I'm pretty sure he's in the top 10 in his class and with around a 30 ACT. And so just, you know, fantastic student. But then to look at a long-term opportunity that the academies bring, and especially with Air Force and for a guy that wants to be a pilot, just seemed like a great match. But, you know, one that, you know, so many times kids are, you know, they've spent a lot of time on the basketball. And so it's so many times decisions are made from a basketball standpoint. And he really, I thought, made a mature decision there, and something that's going to have a tremendous impact on his life for many years to come. And so it's a great opportunity and really proud of him there. And then obviously as a basketball player here on our team, he's, you know, going to be the centerpiece of our team. I think everybody knows he can score the basketball, and you know, coming back as a guy that averaged 20 points a game as a junior. And so, you know, a challenge for him is going to be, you know, trying to find other areas of his game to work on, being a more vocal leader, which that piece of it doesn't always come naturally to him. And, you know, he's a guy that talks to other people and, you know, tries to be a subtle leader, but, you know, we're going to need him to be a louder, more vocal guy than maybe he's comfortable with, and some things like that. So he's still got a few things to polish up on his game. But, you know, as a coach, if you have a big guard who can, you know, who can break a press by himself and handle the ball and then just take it and go get you a basket when nothing else is working, that might be the number one on any coach's wish list in modern basketball. And so we're pretty fortunate in that regard.
Talking with Todd Sturgeon of Floyd Central here on our Media Day program. With the number of seniors gone from last year, obviously Jake Heidbreder going to be especially important, but I'm curious who will step into some of those other leadership roles and maybe bigger roles than what they had last season. So other players, and maybe you could start with Caleb Washington, because I think the future for him as sophomore this year is really bright.
Yeah, Caleb, I mean, he's just a terrific all-around player. He's a guy that, you know, sometimes, especially last year, you know, Jake obviously would, you know, anybody that showed up at the game would notice him. And then Grant was such a unique guy and shooting all those deep shots and everything. But Caleb's just a guy that subtly, you know, at the end of the games got, you know, last year as a freshman would have, you know, 8 to 12 points, 5 to 8 rebounds, you know, 3 assists, got some deflections, block a shot, just does a little bit of everything, and is just a fantastic basketball player. And so hopefully we see him take another step in his maturity. I think he's continued to look to work on his ball handling and has shot the ball in from the perimeter really well. And and again, like Jake, is a pretty laid-back personality. And, you know, it's just going to have to grow into being, you know, a more forceful leader as he matures on the team.
Todd Sturgeon, Floyd Central, as we talk about the upcoming high school hoops season. Other players that you expect to step into bigger roles, maybe a couple additional names for fans to pay attention to this year that could see bigger opportunities for the Highlanders?
Yeah, it's hard for me to single guys out because we're going to find out if depth is either going to be our huge advantage this year or is going to be a downfall. Sometimes depth, you know, the natural reaction is, oh my goodness, everybody wants to have depth, and I think we have that. Especially we have a depth of size, which very few teams are blessed. We actually have eight guys that are 6'4 to 6'10. Who has that kind of size? So we're blessed in that regard, but that also means a backlog for playing time. So hopefully that's something that we'll be able to navigate ourselves through the season and it doesn't rip us apart from the inside over frustration about not playing more. But to try to pare that down with some guys who performed really well in the sectional last year. We had three last year. They were sophomores who came off the bench and scored. I think all of them had between 6 and 12 points in everyone, the two sectional games. Brady Moore is a 6'4", kind of a swing man, three man, four man, you know, kind of a jack of all trades guy around the basket and has developed his game, been able to step out a little bit. Cole Herod is a guy, a shooter that had a couple 20-point games as a sophomore and came in and knocked in shots in the sectional. And then Max Trippier is another guy who made shots for us late in the year last year and was a guy that, the first half of the season was primarily a JV player and played so well in the JV games, he started getting more and more varsity time and got to the point where he was the first guy off the bench some late in the year. And so those guys, we're going to see, hey, are they going to make the next step? They had they had some fantastic moments last year. Now, are they going to be able to be consistent varsity guys who teams have to deal with on a nightly basis? So obviously we need some of those guys, especially those perimeter shooters. So, teams can't double us in the post or clog up the lane to keep Jake from driving the ball and so forth. So in modern basketball, you need some guys that can space the floor for you, and those guys have the potential to do that.
Again, Todd Sturgeon, that's from our Media Day program last night. You can hear from every coach by searching it as a podcast in SoundCloud and Apple Podcast and really wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll head to a commercial break, come back with Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana, Kyle Dedenrip of the Indianapolis Star still ahead in this program today, and news coming out of South Bend just moments ago, Blake Wesley, a former IU target, seemed to be some mutual interest for a while, and then that dropped off, I think, from both parties within the last couple months. He committed to Notre Dame this morning, so no big surprise there, but Blake Wesley will stay in state, really in the city of South Bend, and play college basketball at Notre Dame. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Dylan Wallace. Lots of IU basketball and a big game tomorrow, IU Ohio State football, to talk about. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana, my guest. He's always with me on Fridays and lots of basketball to talk about with the season just around the corner. But got to start with football today because the Hoosiers going to Ohio State Saturday for a big game. Indiana 4-0 trying to knock off one of the nation's really good football teams in Ohio State. What do you think, Dylan? We've talked about the game a lot this week. I know there are some that think this Indiana team is ready for this sort of challenge. Others think that this may not be the game that I think everyone hopes it is. What's your take on what to expect Saturday?
Yeah, well, this is definitely the true measuring test. You know, you beat Penn State, you beat Michigan, They're obviously having, you know, a little bit of a down year. People can question that, whatever. Ohio State, they're not going to have a down year. Not usually ever. You know, this is the team. This is, you know, this is who you kind of measure yourself up against. Are you, did you, have you taken sort of that next step? And, you know, tomorrow's going to be the test. And I think this Indiana team is definitely kind of up for the challenge. You know, I think they opened as about 20-point underdogs, and I think that's a lot, and I think this Indiana team is definitely capable of keeping this game close, and that's sort of what I expect. I expect this to be a close game tomorrow. You know, whether or not they pull it out, I'm not sure. You know, Ohio State is really good. Justin Fields is incredible. In my mind, he's probably the best quarterback in the country in college football, and it's going to be a tough test for sure, but I'm super excited. You know, I don't know. You know, the last time I've been so excited to watch kind of a football game unfold as tomorrow's game will. It's going to be fun to watch. And, you know, Indiana has been a take. You know, defense is playing super well. Their offense has struggled a bit. And you know, you got to be the type of your game when you're playing that Ohio State defense, because they're just full of big, strong, athletic guys kind of everywhere on the field. So if the offense is connecting, and, you know, with Michael Penix at quarterback, you know, they believe they have an offense that can beat anybody. So, you know, if the offense is connecting and they're executing and they're converting, then it's going to be, it should be a close game in my opinion. And, you know, hopefully, you know, the last thing you want is to go lose by a decent amount to Ohio State, because then everything that happened this season, people start to question and they start to put into perspective. You know, I think this season is going to be historic no matter what, you know, no matter what happens tomorrow. I think just the attitude of this program and the players they have, like, I don't think you can take away from that, even no matter what happens tomorrow. But, you know, you don't want to have people even question it. You know, you want to go be competitive. And I think they can keep it close, and I think it should be a close game. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they win, but this would definitely be the biggest win. I don't know how long, but it'd be absolutely huge. And I cannot wait to kind of see how this unfolds tomorrow in Columbus.
Yeah, no question. Speaking of Penix and quarterbacks, you guys had a story on this on the SI.com/college/Indiana site that Justin Fields of Ohio State and, of course, Michael Penix of Indiana, they are both two quarterbacks in the Big Ten this season that have really stolen the show.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Two best, I think they've played the two best so far in the Big Ten. And Justin Fields, you know, he's had a little bit of a small sample size compared to some of the other big-name quarterbacks around the college football, but I think he's at the top of the Heisman list just from what he's done. I mean, this guy barely throws any incompletions. It's kind of insane, you know, when you look at his numbers. He is so accurate, and, you know, yes, he has a lot of talented receivers, his offensive line, he got good protection. You know, he has good things around him, but still, I mean, the accuracy and the level of play that he's at right now is just super impressive. And it's going to be tough for Indiana to sort of contain him. You know, we know how well Indiana's secondary has played this season. You know, they've been amazing. You know, they lead the Big Ten in interceptions. You know, they've been flying around the field, but, you know, you have a whole new test trying to contain Justin Fields, and he can run with his legs too. You know, this is a dual threat quarterback who is really dual threat. I mean, you know, he's not just a runner, he's not just a passer. He can do both extremely well, and that's going to be the biggest challenge. And, you know, as for Michael Penix, I think I saw something from, like, Pro Football Focus, and they sort of rated the college quarterbacks this season, and Penix comes in at number 9. So, you know, he's a top 10 quarterback around college football, which speaks volumes to to kind of the player he is. And it was really interesting is that this week we were talking to one of the wide receiver coaches at Indiana, and he just said, you know, there's not a throw that we don't think Penix can't make. So, you know, when you have a guy like that, it means you can do a lot of different things with your receivers. You know, Michael Penix, since he's left-handed, you know, he can throw it to sort of the far sideline, and, like, they have no worry that, you know, he can't get it there. And we saw that against Michigan State, touchdown pass to Ty Firestone, where he broke it 65 yards. You know, he was able to whip it sort of across the field to that far sideline. And just the ability that he has, it's going to be a quarterback battle tomorrow with two of the best in the game. And I think that's going to be one of the more intriguing matchups. You know, obviously they don't go head-to-head with each other. They both play offense. But just seeing, comparing how they are able to play tomorrow is going to be really fun.
Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana, my guest. Dylan, apparently there was a intra-squad scrimmage basketball game yesterday in Bloomington. We saw a tweet with a photo from Archie Miller. We saw the IU men's basketball account put out some photos as well. But it looked like a practice game. It looked like the real deal, the real uniforms, the scoreboards, coaches, everything was intact yesterday. And of course, we don't know scores or box scores or who played well or anything like that, but it sure looked like it was a very competitive, get ready for the start of the regular season affair.
Yeah, it definitely looked like it was. And I think it makes sense because sort of the last 3 years, you know, you have those kind of behind closed door scrimmages. I think 2 years ago it was against Marquette, and last year was against the school that went almost had the amazing run in the Elite Eight. I can't remember their name. I'm blanking on them. But Sister Jean was with them. I can't remember.
Loyola.
Loyola. They had it against Loyola last year. So, you know, they've had these kind of closed doors scrimmages in the past, kind of right before the season starts. You know, with those, they usually tell us the results of it when it's over. But I don't know if they're going to tell us the results of this just because it's intra-squad, and you know, I'm sure it's whatever. But yeah, it looked like it was the real deal. You know, in the real uniforms, they had everything kind of. There's probably a test run for the kind of assembly hall because they're going to, you know, in less than a week they're going to be playing a game there. So I'm sure it was a test kind of on all sides. And you know, it's interesting. I wonder who the teams were. It looked like it was going to be an interesting matchup. But yeah, I think it's great that, you know, they sort of did that. You know, you always kind of want your first taste of a kind of some real action. You know, it's going to be nice for them to take the floor Wednesday and not be going up against each other for sure. But yeah, it looked like it was the real deal. So that was kind of cool to see Archie tweet that out.
Talking with Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. The season is almost here. November 25th, the opening game for Indiana. And we've on this show, we've broken a lot down about who could be the starting lineup and returning players and how the incoming freshmen could contribute or maybe in some cases not contribute as much as what they would like. Who knows how that all plays out. But I guess I'm curious, as we really get ready to start this thing, what's your honest take on this team? We know about Trace Jackson Davis. We know so much about so many of the returning guys. What type of year do you think this will be? And I know it's going to be different because of COVID, so it might be hard to think of it in normal terms, but what are the expectations? What should the expectations be, according to Dylan Wallace, for fans of this IU team this season?
Yeah, I have high expectations for this team. And then when, you know, of course, you look at the schedule and you're like, oh, man, like, this is brutal. Like, even, you know, I know you guys talk about the schedule and just, like, the Big Ten that they got. I mean, no schedule in the Big Ten was going to be easy, no matter what. But just the teams that Indiana has to play twice and everything, I mean, it definitely is not going to be easy at all, including, you know, with their non-conference slate, too. So it's going to be a tough test for this team. But I think, you know, I don't think that changes sort of the expectations I have. Because when you look at the roster kind of top to bottom, you know, the last few seasons, you know, we would talk about the depth of the team, but like Archie Miller really would, you know, you didn't really have past seven or eight guys really. And now for this year's team, I mean, I think, you know, all these scholarship players honestly have a chance to play and to be effective when they're on the court. And, you know, Armon Franklin in his second season, I think he's taken a big step. You know, we know about Trace. We know Race is ready to kind of have sort of a breakout year. You know, we know Joey Brust's going to play. You know, Rob Finney and Al Durham, obviously. Christian Lander is definitely going to play. And then, you know, you have the other three freshmen with Anthony Leal, Trey Galloway, Jordan Geronimo. I think they can definitely earn some minutes. And it just gives Archie Miller a lot of options, which I think with this sort of tough season, which is going to be weird, you know, I think to have all these different options, different combinations you can play on the floor, you know, definitely help. And I think, you know, a lot of people are in sort of the same boat in terms of preparation. I think because Indiana has so much coming back and so much talent from a season ago and so much added talent, you know, this team has definitely have a chance to be something special. And my sort of expectations are, you know, to be contending for a Big Ten championship. You know, I'm not saying they have to win it, but I think you have to be near the top of the standings. You know, last year they're going to make the NCAA tournament. They were 10th in the Big Ten, and so like that's bottom four. And they were playing on the first day of the Big Ten tournament. And you're kind of like, wow, like really? And you know, I think that's sort of odd. You know, you can't really do that anymore. You can't sort of just sneak into the NCAA tournament, you know. You know, last year I remember, like, if they lost to Nebraska, what would they have done in the Big Ten tournament? What would that have done to their chances? You know, would it? You know, I think this year, you know, you can't have any question marks about whether or not you get into the tournament. It has to be concrete. You got to be a decent team. You got to be in the top, near the top of the Big Ten standings, because I think you have the talent to sort of compete with some of those teams and be in the top seven, be in the top five even. So those are sort of my expectations for the team. And it's not going to be easy, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. You know, this Indiana team has obviously given a lot of frustration to people in the past in terms of how they've sort of handled conference play, because, you know, they've had their struggles, and this is going to be another year where you're going to be really tested. So, you know, but yeah, I think this team might be mentally tough as well, which I think is a good thing. So my expectations are pretty high, and I think that's the case for a lot of Indiana fans, just when you look at this roster and what the, kind of they have the ability to do.
Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana, joining us. Dylan, we are let you go here, but I'm going to pin you down for a score on Saturday's game. I've asked for your thoughts. Give me a score on Saturday's game.
All right. Score. I'm going to say Ohio State 35, Indiana 27.
Okay, that's a close affair, but not enough for the Hoosiers if they're going to get it done. But should be interesting to see. Dylan, thanks so much for your time, and we'll talk to you again next Friday.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Absolutely. We'll head to a commercial break. Come back with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk some high school hoops with Kyle and what's going on across the state and a lot more in our final segment of the week. And also, I want to remind you, we've got high school girls basketball on the air tonight. New Albany at Columbus North. The pregame expected to begin somewhere around 7:10. And if you missed the Clark Floyd preview last night for boys, they're going to air some of that tonight starting at 6 o'clock. So you can catch the podcast or hear some of it from 6 to the start of our high school girls basketball coverage tonight. Also, Jeffersonville at Floyd Central, a boys scrimmage tonight. At 7 o'clock, there are still some tickets available, according to Floyd Central Athletic Director Jeff Sequeira. Get out and see these teams play while you still can. Who knows the limited attendance requirements that could be coming for Floyd County soon. Who knows? We'll head to a break. Kyle Neddenrip is next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment here on this Friday edition of the program. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins as always. And Kyle, we've spent some time, I know a lot of interest from listeners as well, on what high school crowds will look like here in our area this year. Right now, Clark County has very limited attendance. It's two parents, I believe, per athlete, and Floyd County still a little bit more liberal at this time, but as there are other health department orders and the numbers go up, you have to wonder how long that will be the case in Floyd County. What are you seeing in Indianapolis and maybe other things across the state that stand out to you as far as how high schools are planning to move forward this season with fans and maybe other special protocols?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty much the same as you're talking about, and I've actually been to some of my own son's middle school games, and you know they're allowing two parents per kid, and I think that's going to be, you know, either two to four parents or, you know, very limited numbers as far as the, you know, a quarter of the, you know, capacity in attendance. I think that's probably the most allowed right now as far as what I've seen. You know, and it's just, I think it's going to be, you know, depending on where you're at county-wise, as far as what people are going to be allowed. You know, it's just going to be, you know, that's the way it's just going to have to be. And I would assume, you know, we may even see a lessening of those crowds for those that are still allowing, you know, regular fans to come in and buy tickets at the gate. I think that will continue to probably diminish, you know, based on the numbers. You know, it's kind of, we're looking at a red and orange map right now, and as far as the color schemes from the state go, and those are kind of the danger zones. So I think for sure the counties that are in red are going to try to limit it as much as possible. And then, you know, hopefully if we can bounce back and get, you know, into some better numbers, you know, infection rate wise, then maybe we can get some more people in the building. But, you know, from everybody I've talked to, from administrators to even the players and the coaches, you know, they, you know, whatever needs to be the case as far as fans go, I think that's going to, you know, that's going to appease them as far as just being able to have a season. So yeah, I know a lot of schools around here are doing streaming and that sort of thing. And, you know, even me, I was, you know, planning on getting to a couple of games next week and just, you know, checking with ADs to make sure it's okay that I can get in. And luckily in those cases I was able to. So just, you know, I think that's going to be interesting for media as well this year, just to make sure you can get in the games and do your job, you know. And that's, it's, I don't think everybody's going to be able to do that.
Yeah, no question. Talking with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. All right, the season is here. It's going to look different. It's going to be different. There may not be fans in attendance outside of a few parents, but let's take a look at 4A basketball and then 3A basketball today, and we'll do the same for some of the smaller classes next week. But in 3A, I've got to include right out of the gate Silver Creek. We've discussed this. We know Silver Creek's going to be not just one of the best out of our area, but in the state, and I really think that they'll be one of the best regardless of class this season, based on the talent they have and just how everything's come together for them. But walk us through those two classes generally. We had our preview show last night talking to the local coaches, getting a feel for everything here in Clark and Floyd counties. But on a statewide level, give us some of your top contenders in those two biggest classes.
Yeah, I think in 4A, you know, I think our area here specifically is we're pretty loaded this year. And it's a good class. The senior class, we've talked about it before, is really good from a statewide perspective. And, you know, I just put out some new, you know, in-state rankings this week, and it's amazing when you look at the 2021 class, just how spread out everybody. You go from, you know, Trey Kaufman at Silver Creek up to, you know, first at Fort Wayne Blackhawk, and you know, Blake Wesley, who committed to Notre Dame today at South Bend Riley, just kind of all over the place. You know, Brooks Barnheiser, Lafayette Jeff. But in 4A, I think it's going to be a really good year in Central Indiana. And I would start, you know, we're kind of running down our Fab 15 of area teams as we get closer. And I have Lawrence North and Carmel as kind of 1A and 1B in Class 4A. And both those teams won sectional titles last year. Both those teams return, you know, the majority of their teams, although Lawrence North lost Tony Perkins, who I hear is doing really well at Iowa in the preseason here. And then Carmel, you know, pretty much totally intact from the younger team that they had last year. So, you know, those are the two teams I'm kind of putting at the top of our list. Brownsburg, I think, is going to be really good. Cathedral and Warren Central kind of round out the top five as far as the 4A teams I have. And then I think a team to watch here locally, too, is North Central with Jason Gardner coming in as coach there, and Leland Walker, who is, I think, maybe the most exciting junior in the state. He's a really, really good player, good guard, fun to watch. You know, so I kind of start there as far as our 4A teams locally go. I think Bloomington South is probably, you know, they're going to take a step back this year. Connor Hickman, who's their best player, is going to miss the entire season now due to injury. So that kind of, you know, kind of knocks them off. He's a Bradley commit and a really good player. They were going to need him to have a big year for him. Unfortunately, he's not going to be able to play. So that's a big loss for that team. You know, and I think from a statewide perspective, you know, you look at, you know, a team like Culver Academy that's lost a lot, you know, from their team. Obviously, Galloway was a really good player for them last year. You know, so I think Jeffersonville is a team I think that's going to be good. I think New Albany is going to be good in 4A. Both those teams return really good players, you know, and also replacing some key pieces as well. And then Homestead, I think, is a team, you know, adding the lawyer kid from Michigan who came in, added to him with Luke Goody. I mean, what a combination that will be. So that's a really interesting team, I think, from the Fort Wayne area. So I think, once again, you have really good teams sprinkled throughout the state. I think this year for our you know, for our immediate area is going to be really, really good, probably better than it was a year ago even. You know, and then in 3A, I think, you know, you mentioned Silver Creek. We've talked a lot about them, and it's not just the Trey Kaufman show. It's Cooper Jacoby and Brandon Northern are both great players in their own right and could be the dominant force on most high school teams. So I think they're very clearly the favorite. But, you know, there's also teams, you know, Heritage Hills, I think, is going to be really good again. I think, you know, around here, there's going to be some teams that rise up, like Rebuff Jesuit, I think, is going to be they have a junior named Billy Smith, who I people probably don't know about yet, but 6'6", really good shooter, played a pretty good role for him last year. I think he's about to have a breakout year. And Evan Altman, who's a senior for them, has also improved quite a bit. So I would look for keep an eye on Rebuff as a team that could, you know, potentially make a deeper run this year. They were on the brink last year when the virus happened and everybody got shut down. But I think that's going to be a really good team as well. South Bend St. Joe, with what they have coming back up north, I think is going to be really good. Evansville Bossy, I think, too, when you're looking in the south part of 3A, with what they have returning as well, that is going to be a team that, can make some waves, I think, in the southern part of the state, and a team that I think in the past has, caught people's attention as well.
Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star. Kyle, we've got 30 seconds left, but I'd like to get your comments on Blake Wesley, a former IU target. Didn't seem to be much interest between the two here the last few months, but he committed earlier this morning to Notre Dame.
Yeah, really exciting player, I think that's a great get for Notre Dame. Some people have him ranked as the number one commit in that class once Lander, went to the 2020 class. So I think that's a really good get. I know some teams had backed off, including some of the schools that were in his final grouping there. But, he's a guy, if he puts it all together, I think he's going to be a really good college player and has potential to go on even to the next level. So, he's a great athlete, good shooter, just overall really good player. So I think that's going to be keeping the hometown kid there. That's a really nice fit for Notre Dame.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, thank you. Look forward to more conversations about basketball as the season officially beginning. High school and college. And we'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Thanks so much, Matt. Have a good weekend.
Absolutely. And that's going to wrap things up for this Friday program. Tonight, high school girls basketball on the Big X. We'll travel to Columbus North, New Albany at Columbus North tonight. We'll have that broadcast beginning with pregame coverage around 7:10 p.m. Thanks again to all the area coaches and to the great listenership we had last night for Clark and Floyd County High School Boys Basketball Media Day, also brought to you by our friends at the News and Tribune. And I'll be back with you, of course, tonight for girls basketball, Monday with the Hoosier Report at 11 a.m. Have a great weekend.